Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. And the Lord is good. I was talking about the light. And I said, well, this world is full of darkness, but we have the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we should let that light shine. And I said, instinctively, when you enter into a dark room in the night, you reach for the light switch. You turn on the light. That's what we do. And so that's what we should be for this world. But our light, this is what I was saying before my mic went off. Our light should not have a light switch. It shouldn't be on and off. Because the Bible says, 1 John 1 and 5. This is the message that we heard from the Lord from the beginning. That in Him, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So there's no moment when it's dark and He has to turn on the light. No, it's always light. And so we are, He is light and we are light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And He also told His disciples, ye are the light of the world. But we don't have any light in us if we are not in Him and He's not in us. And we're a reflection of His light. And because He is in us and we are in Him, then we let that light shine. Glory to God. And we must come into the place where that light is always shining, not on and off. We need to get rid of that on and off switch. The on and off switch is a thing that's in our flesh. You know, because the flesh cannot stay in the presence of God. You know, so until we completely subdue this flesh, we're dealing with the on and off switch. You know, sometimes you turn it on, you're in the spirit, and sometimes, you know, not so much. But we got to come into the place. I am the light of the world, Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the same light of life. Glory to God. And in Matthew, when Jesus began to tell his disciples, you know, about being the light and being the salt of the earth, he called it out also, you know, this same light that he had always been, he had given it unto us. Ye are the salt of the earth, he said in Matthew 5. And also the next verse, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's Matthew 5 and 14. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so that it gives light to all that are in the house. Well, it's a good thing that we light the candle, but we should not let that candlelight go out. You know, Jesus giving us the grace, the Spirit of God within us, you know, to keep the light on. Keep the lights on. Keep the lights on. In fact, there's a place, there's a saying in the place where I work, you know, my regular job. You know, they have two programs, and I never thought of this until just this moment. One program is new initiatives and things like that. And the other is keep the lights on. You know, call it KTLO. And majority of the work that some of us do is in the area of keep the lights on. Others that are involved in acquiring new business and so forth, they are doing that. But the rest of us in technology and all that, ours is to keep the lights on. You know, we're not the business unit that acquires new business. Ours is to keep the light on, keep the business running. And as I was thinking about this now, I just remembered KTLO. And I'm like, wow, can you imagine that? Keep that light on. You know, don't let that light ever go off. And we started this room with Leviticus 6, 12, and 13. A different kind of light, which is the fire. That must be burned. Well, fire has many uses. You know, one of the things it can do is also give light. You know, people can light, you know, you know, live fire. In the olden days, you used to have those, you know, fire stands and, you know, fire sticks. You light the fire and walk through the tunnel or walk through this and that. You know, fire can give light. Fire can give heat. Fire can, you know, protect. Fire can cleanse. You know, fire, you know, all kinds of various things that fire can do. And even God himself, we see that his various appearances are in fire sometimes. His eyes are like a flame of fire, you know. And he appeared in burning coals of fire. You know, Ezekiel saw it that way. John saw it that way on the Isle of Patmos, and so on and so forth. And Jesus didn't have any pleasure in lukewarmness. He said, I want you to be fired up. If you're not fired up, told the church in Laodicea, I will spill you out of my mouth because you are lukewarm. And so, but the scripture says in Leviticus 6 and 12, every morning, let's come and put some more wood on that altar. Lay it in order. You know, crank it up again so that the fire must ever be burning. Well, we got to get to the place where the fire doesn't go out. The fire is always burning. Well, and I, by the grace of God, I will jump back into the transformation series, not today, that will help us to keep the lights on all the time. There are some amazing things that Jesus said about light, and which, you know, even though that's not my subject today, you know, but I want us to consider. You know, Jesus was talking about, he said in John chapter 11 and verse 9, are there not 12 hours in the day? And if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. That's a question. You know, that's how they counted the day. Yeah, 12 hours, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. But notice the amazing thing that Jesus gives here of the reason why the man who walks in the night stumbleth. Now, the one who walks in the day does not stumble because he seeth the light of day. I mean, so if you know, if it's daytime and you're walking around, you don't need to stumble over anything because you can clearly see. But if it is night and you cannot see and there is no light, but look at the reason that Jesus gives for the reason why the guy will stumble. You know, he stumbles not because there is no light around, but he stumbles because there is no light in him. Now, that's an amazing concept if you think about it. In other words, if the light is inside of you, not that you don't have any light around, there's a big difference between the guy who's using the light of day. Everybody has the light of day. The light, it's daybreak, you know, the sun is out, everybody has that. But some people have light in them. Not just the light of the sun around or whatever, or daylight, or even the light in the house when you turn on the lamps or your electric bulbs or whatever. But some people have light in them. And the person that has light, or the person that does not have light in him, will stumble when the other light is not there. But the one that has the light in him, regardless of whether the light is around him, he cannot stumble. So this is something for us to consider. And when we have that light in us, we got to do everything to make sure that light is always burning. You know, there are many reasons why that light will be put out. You know, many reasons. But we'll get to that someday. Today, I want to welcome you all into the room. God bless every one of you. Thank you, Sister Bridget, for, you know, accepting the invite to come to the stage. Sister Elaine, good to see you. Alexis, Grace, Sam, Pearl, and Sister Mary, good to see every one of you. Thank you. I see another Bridget in the room. Thank you for being there. And thank you, Coach Yolanda. Welcome, everyone. And good morning, honey. Let's get started. I'm going to ask my wife a quick word of prayer, and then I want to get into today's exhortation room and encouragement room. Go ahead, honey. Let's pray, and then we'll get to it.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, we are here, oh Lord, to feed at your feet, to hear your word, to encourage, Lord, to go on and get fired up. Thank you, Lord, because you are the light of the world. And Lord, a house that is on a hill, Lord, will give light. Father, we thank you, Lord, because you said, let your light shine, that men may see your light and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We have come this morning, O Lord, to sharpen our lights. Lord, to let our light shine in this dark world. Thank you, Lord, because you are light. In you, there is no darkness at all. Father, Lord, we're going to feed off of you. And let that light radiate to us, O Lord. Even untoward generation, we ask, Lord, that the word of God will come down like honey from the honeycomb. Lord, it will enlighten our hearts this morning. Lord, that we will get your daily dose of your word. Lord, we pray, Lord, and I present my husband that is going to be preaching this morning. And teaching, Lord, that you would allow him to speak like the oracle of God, that the word will come through, Lord, effortlessly in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will direct this teaching. Lord, that our hearts also will receive. Lord, our hearts will be opened to receive the word of God. We pray, oh Lord, that it will do good to us. It will do good to our family, our children. Lord, that you will bless everyone that is in this room. We present every heart, every eyes, everyone that has come in here, that they will not go out empty. Lord, that they will hold on to something from this world today that is dropped into their hearts. Lord, that it will be fresh in our hearts, that we will not say, oh, I've had that before. But it will be a fresh dose of honey unto us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you bless us today. It's a new week, Lord. We pray, Lord, it's Monday. We thank you, Lord, because you go through with us for the rest of the week. Lord, even if you have started with us, Lord, we will not run out. We will not run dry in the name of Jesus. Again, we thank you and we present this hour before you, or this time that you're going to, and this room, Lord, and this topic that you have given us, Lord, God is about to change our story. Let our story be changed today for permanently. Let our health be changed permanently. Let the glory of God descend upon us wherever we are, whether in our bedroom, our job, whether we're in England, whether we're in Nigeria, or whether we're in America, or any part of a country that we are in, Australia, whatever country we are, Lord, it does not matter to you, because you, they are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Lord, and Lord, you have made the earth your footstool and the heavens your throne. Therefore, Lord, we'll see us, Lord, even as grasshoppers. Lord, we are but nothing before you. But you are so humble to have behold us, to have had even the time to care for us. We bless your name. We give you glory and honor and majesty as we present this time unto your hands. In Jesus' name, we declare this time, this meeting, this room opened. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for that. Hello, Sister Bridget. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Yate. Good morning, Pastor Eben. I am well. I'm blessed. Thank you.
Good to have you with us. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So God is fixing or is about to change our story. Well, you know, there are many stories in the Bible that bring out this point. You know, I want this to be an encouragement room this morning, just like we've been doing for several weeks, you know, since we opened this room, you know, and, but there is a story that I would tell, not today, but today I will just tell some few stories of how, you know, God changed people's stories. And then, but I will switch the gears, you know, maybe tomorrow I'll start to tell how God will change our story, you know, in this spiritual walk with God. Today, it's a house of faith. We just believe in God for our story. What's your story? I mean, everybody has a story, you know, and the one that we know is what we know. There's parts of that story which we don't know. We look at our story as, you know, events that have happened in our life. You know, that's the part that we know. But in those fingerprints, God has coded something in there that only He knows. And there are no two sets of fingerprints are the same. Can you imagine all the billions and billions of people in the world and no two fingerprints, even twins, no two fingerprints are the same. And so God has coded in there. And you know, every time that someone is born again into the kingdom of God, every time, you know, there is a, there's a new code that comes into the kingdom. And if we don't let the Holy Spirit do His work, you know, people try to proselyte the people who are coming into the kingdom. Jesus said, look, you make, you know, you compass land and sea about to make one proselyte. And you end up making them twice the child of hell. And that's a serious indictment that He put out there. You know, but people are always trying to, you know, make someone be something else than what God intends for them to be. And sometimes people themselves are always trying to be something else other than what God intends them to be. You know, people don't, they don't know, they can't find out, or they don't take time to find out. But I tell you what, your role in this kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, is unique. You know, there may be similarities, but it's unique. And God has a plan and a purpose for every storyline. And while we're going through this journey, we have different stories. It's like when you read a book, you know, different chapters, you know, read a novel and so forth, different chapters, and then develop the storyline. The different chapters that, you know, that we can read and develop. And it may get more and more intriguing, you know, as you get deeper into the story. Different chapters. You know, some of us are in various chapters of our lives. You know, at some point in time, you know, you may be going through some things that are making it difficult for you to even see what might be ahead in other chapters. Now, me being a pastor and all, by the grace of God, I always love to, you know, preach, you know, encouraging sermons that will help people get past these things, you know, and then come into the place where you can really, you know, emerge into the glory that God intended for us. But oftentimes, you know, we have to deal with these things. And so, you know, I will, you know, dwell on that a little bit today, you know, as a stepping stone for something that we are going to get back into shortly, maybe tomorrow. But today I want to talk about, you know, some stories that God changed in the Bible. And we use this as a stepping stone, you know, that God can change our story in the physical and also in the spiritual. I'll be talking to us about some physical, you know, changing of some stories, which we know the stories, but as we go along, we may bring out certain things. And so let's enjoy the room. God bless everyone. Good morning again and welcome. And let's share the room quickly before we get going here. So share the room on Clubhouse and share it to your friends. And we are going to get right into it. And we thank God. I am thankful always for this app. You know, so a lot of people use this app for whatever things they may want to use it for. But I thank God that we're able to use it for fellowship. You know, we come together, you know, I mean, right now I'm able to fellowship with Sister Bridget and she's in the UK. I mean, can you see that? It's like Elaine is in another part. You know, everybody is all over the place. Sister Mary also in the UK and different things like that. And we can all fellowship together. So it's an amazing thing. So I thank God for it. And, let's use it for some good. And, every opportunity we get when we are on this app or anywhere else for that matter, you know, the Bible says that how God anointed Christ of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Hallelujah. So he was doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So everywhere we go, we ought to also be doing good. Hallelujah. Storyline being changed. God fixing to change our story. I'm going to start here in Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to read the first 6 verses or so as we go into this sharing this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 18, the Lord told Jeremiah, go down over here to the porter's house, and when you get there, I'll cause you to hear my words. You know, so I went down to the porter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the porter. So he made it again, another vessel that seemed good to the porter to make it. Hallelujah. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Well, what was the potter doing? He was making pottery. And I think the potter must be skilled at it. But despite being skilled at it, you know, sometimes, you know, some of them don't come out just right. You know, and Jeremiah was looking, you know, and God used to dramatize his word with some of those prophets in the old days, you know, and he would just let them be engaged and involved in the drama as it unfolds. And so he was there looking at this man making, you know, pottery. And as he was doing it, the clay was messed up. I mean, he was trying to mold it into something, but the thing didn't come out just right. So he looked at it and he didn't like what he saw. So he made it again. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I call that the Holy Ghost makeover. You know, so the Lord looked at some things and he didn't like. And then he began to make it over. He said to the children of Israel, look, can I not do with you as this? The intention was for you to come out into a perfect lump, but, you know, the thing got out of shape. You know, so he's going to fix it and make it over. And there's no one that knows how to do that more than the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He, you know, that's what he does. Even from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, we see in the first 2 verses that when the Lord made the heaven and the earth, that was his summary in verse 1. And then he began to tell us, you know, some of the things that went into details in the several chapters that follow. You know, how when God looked at everything, you know, it was initially void and without form. It was like messed up stuff, you know. So, you know, he had to begin to do some things and clean it up. You know, the earth was without form and was void, Genesis 1 and 2. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. So the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's, you know, when God began to clean this up, the Holy Spirit had to move. And it's the same thing still today. Holy Spirit has to move whenever God wants to do something. And there is no unction. I mean, there is nothing that works in God's spirit realm except that unction and the Holy Spirit moves first. Now, the Holy Spirit, it can bring order out of that chaos. It can bring light out of darkness. The Bible says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. And so the Lord looked at the darkness. He didn't like it. So he commanded the light to shine. And he saw the light. He saw that it was good. He didn't like the chaos either. Didn't like the void. And began to bring some form into it. You know, the Holy Spirit, he can take what's chaotic in our lives. And there are some people whose lives are just attract chaos. I don't know what it is. Their life is chaotic. They just seem to be a chaos magnet. You know, and things just don't seem to work out. There's always problems. But let's invite our Holy Spirit. He can bring order like nobody else. This earth was chaotic. You know, it was bent out of shape just like the clay in the hand of the potter. Everything was not the way God wanted it. You know, it just spun out of order. And God began, the Holy Spirit began to bring things into order. And God can take the things that are chaotic in our lives. God can take the things that are out of order. The void, you know, and some, you know, so many lives. It's amazing. So many lives are void. It's either void of understanding or void of purpose. It's not that they don't have a purpose, but they can't find it or they don't know what it is. You know, and when the earth was without form, I mean, that means it's just bent out of shape, you know, like the clay was bent out of shape in the hand of the potter, you know, and it was void. I mean, just void. It didn't really have, you know, substance that was good. I mean, it had everything there, but it was no good. And so God had to put things, God had to clean it up, you know, and the story was, he started to clean up. First thing was he looked at the darkness and said, no, you know, everything was just dark. And then Holy Spirit began to, you know, bring that light, call that light out. Glory to God. And when he did call that light, now I want you to know that God himself is light, you know, so the light was already in him. He just needed to impart it into the, earth system that he created. And everything that God is doing, you know, going on, God, you know, we think of God today as in heaven. Well, maybe. Jesus even referred to it that way. He said, your Father who is in heaven. You know, so that's all good. But what about the earth? You know, and as we all always say, as I like to say, Psalms 115 and verse 16, the kingdoms in the heavens belong to the Lord, but he's given us to the sons of men, the earth. Well, we know that everything is his, earth or heaven and so forth. But he's given us this one. And in this place, you know, the purpose of God in heaven as it relates to man is to bring this earth back into form. You know, it was void in the beginning and he formed it, you know, to his liking. And everything he did, he said it was good. Looked at it and said it was good. Well, after a while, everything got out of order again because of, you know, we talk about, people call it the fall. Well, Adam fell from somewhere, but I don't think it was exactly heaven that he fell from. But he fell from somewhere. He fell from a realm, you know, and he fell from the dominion that God gave him, but it was in a realm actually. And I'm going to drop this here right now that look, when you get out of that place where the spirit and the glory of God, like in Romans 3 and 23, the spirit and the glory of God that Adam lost, when you get out of that place, God can't find you. It's like, Adam, where are you? You know, so, I mean, there's a place where you should be. And if you're not there, you know, and you are in the flesh, then, you know, communication is lost. There's no signal. And, you know, God can't find you. You know, if you want to hide from God, you just walk in the flesh. That's the only way. I say it in a funny way, but it is the truth. You know, and so once he fell from that glory, God was now looking for him. God never looked for him before. He was in a place of communion, communication with God in the realm where God was at. When he fell from that glory, now God can't find him. You know, where are you, Adam? And he's hiding somewhere. You know, that's what walking in the flesh, walking in the carnal mind will do to you. You know, and I talked about this somewhat, a version of it in our local service yesterday. I was talking about engaging the Lord in the spirit and not walking in the flesh. You know, some version of it. But so that's, see how God began to change the story at the beginning. Well, and throughout this Bible, there have been times when God had to step in and change some stories. Physical stories. You know, but the physical stories that he changed give us an illustration of even things that he can do in the spirit. And we know that he's made provision to change our story in the spirit. You know, Christ, the purpose of Christ was to come and do that. You know, to change that in the spirit. And Jesus said when he finished the work, or while he was on the work that he was doing, he said, look, my meat, John chapter 4 and verse 34, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish that work. And so he was focused on doing it. And when people come to him and try to get him off track, he wouldn't even listen. He said, well, show us a sign. Well, they didn't care about that. Even his brethren, his siblings in his own house, in John chapter 7. He said, look, you can't be in hiding and expect people to know who you are. You know, if any man wants to be known, show yourself already. I mean, advertise yourself. Do these things. Let people know who you are. Jesus wouldn't give in to any of those things. And he said, look, my time is not yet, but your time, you know, you do whatever you want. Yeah, I got to listen to the Father. But he had a purpose, and the purpose was to change, you know, the storyline. The storyline was come into the image and likeness of God, have dominion, and Adam did for a while, and then lost everything. And then so, you know, all along, all these other things that happen, well, it happens, and God will step in occasionally to, you know, by the grace of God and the mercy of God to help us clean up, pick up the pieces in our lives and clean up. But his eternal purpose is to change that story and bring us back to where we were supposed to be. And finally, when he paid the ransom for that, he said, it is finished. I've done it now. And so he has done everything. It is finished. But yet we don't see it. When 1 John 3 and 2 says, look, beloved, now are we the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear, you know, what we shall be. I mean, we know that he's done it. But how come we don't see it exactly? Well, same thing like Psalm 8 says, you know, God has given dominion. But how come we don't see it? You know, because it's still a bit out of joint. Things are still a bit out of place. But God needs to clean all that up, and he's doing it now. You know, and it's time. And we need to, you know, God will clean it all up and bring it back full circle to where it was supposed to be in the beginning. You know, so we see that in the spirit realm, but also in the natural things, we see how God changes people's stories. You know, the evidence of what he can even do in the spirit. So let's look at some stories that God actually changed. There is a story, and I love this story. There's a story in John chapter 5, from verses 1 to about 9. This man who, you know, everybody used to camp out and wait for the moving of the water by the angel. And this man also camped out. And you've heard me tell this story many times. And he camped out, but he was too slow because he was lame on his feet to get into that water. But to be the first, he had to be the first after the angels tear that pool. But one day, you know, because he kept coming though, you know, season after season, I don't know whether that season was 1 year or how long it was, but at a certain season, when the angel came and stirred that pool, and whosoever first then entered into the water after the stirring of the pool was made whole of whatever sickness he had. This man also coming with the hope that, you know, someday maybe he'll be able to get in there, but he never could get in quick enough, you know, because of his physical impairment. And so when Jesus came, and I want to ask you this. There was a great number of impotent folk that we are told that lay in that place. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard this story before, but you know, sometimes the Lord will bring out some other things in some of these stories. So let's bring out a few other things in this story, as you've heard it multiple times. But let's, you know, let's bring this one out today. You know, there was a great number of impotent folk that lay in that place, right? John chapter 5, verse 3. In this lay a great number of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, of withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. Now this pool was there, you know, by the sheep market. And so the pool was called Bethesda. And this angel will go down there, stir up the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And then there was another certain man, you know, that was there, had an infirmity, 38 years, when Jesus now saw him lie. Now, let's stop right here. A great number of impotent folk. This man was just one of them. But why did Jesus zero in on this man? I mean, there was all kinds of impotent folk there. He could have just gone out there and cleaned up the porch. Healed everybody. He could do it too. I mean, there are times when, you know, Matthew 8 and 17 and different places they brought to him, you know, all, you know, and healed them all. You know, in the evening they brought to him all that were plagued with all kinds of diseases, and he healed them all. That might be fulfilled that which was spoken about him, you know, by the prophet Isaiah. He healed them all. I mean, he can clean house. But he didn't do that in this case. Think about that. You know, there was a specific changing of a story that Jesus was going to bring out in this case. I mean, he could have just gone there and healed everybody, and the message or the lesson would not be as significant. It will just be reported that, and he healed them all, and then we'll just move on. But that's how it was reported every time he healed them all. We just reported that he healed them all and then moved on. But once in a while, there are some specific storylines that God allowed us to see how he changed their story. And we can learn from it. And so this particular one, Jesus zeroed in on this man. Perhaps because the man kept coming. Well, I'm sure many of them kept coming as well. I don't think he was the only one that camped out. Many of them camped out, you know, every time, you know. But this man, there was something about it. Whatever it was that Jesus zeroed in on him, we're not told. You have to use your imagination. But when Jesus asked him, would that be made whole? And the man was like, what kind of question is that? We are all here waiting for the moving of the water. But of course I want to be made whole. But I don't know how it will happen. We don't even know when the angel will come. You know, but when he comes, I got to get in there first before everybody else. You know, you can't get in there too soon. And this man's trying to explain to Jesus, you know, how the thing works. You know, and look, you know, I can't, you know, if I get in there too soon, I'm not going to be healed. If I get in there too late, I'm not going to be healed. I got to be the first right after, you know, but people, somebody always steps in ahead of me. You know, I don't know, you know, but yeah, I'm going to keep on trying. You know, we don't even know when this staring will be, but we think it's getting close. And so everybody's inching closer, but you can't get too close. And Jesus said, forget all that. Forget that angel today. Forget the water. Forget that. I'm right here. Praise God. And the Lord changed this man's story right there and then, in the midst of all of the other great number of impotent folk that were there. One person's story was changed. The rest of them kept on waiting for the stirring of the pool. You know, and Jesus just moved on. Now that's part of my lesson today, is that look, will you be that one person? Will you be the one whose storyline will be changed? You know, as I was saying in our church service yesterday, I said, you know, people don't engage God in the, they don't engage the word of God in the spirit. And so they just say, you know, it makes no impact. But when you engage God in the spirit, you get the right impact out of the encounter. You know, and this man, you know, Jesus engaged him. And Jesus found something in the man that was able to pull something out. And so we must engage God. There's some people will engage. You all know the story of the woman with the issue of the blood that kept on pushing through the crowd. And then when she would get there, she had determined in her heart, you know, she spent all her living, the Bible said, on, you know, on all of the doctors and everything and so on, you know, but she was made nothing better, but rather actually grew worse, you know, but she said, look, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be made whole. And she came and touched the hem of his garment, as you know the story. And then Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? The disciples say, what kind of question is that? I mean, there's everybody around you here pushing, juggling for position and everything. And you're saying, who touched me? And Jesus said, yeah, there is a different kind of touch that you can see here. And you can read that story in Luke chapter 8. It's another part of the Bible too. But Jesus said, who touched me? Luke chapter 8, let's pick it up from verses 45 to about 47. You know, and this woman, there were many people around Jesus that day, but we don't know how many of them got healed. You know, so this woman had an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, but could not be healed by any. In another place, he said, but rather grew worse. And he came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately, because, you know, in another place, he said, look, the woman had said that if I can but touch the border of his garment, I will be made whole. And she said, who touched me? So this one person's story was changed, but there was a lot of people around Jesus that day, to the extent that even the disciples marveled that Jesus said, who touched me? I said, how can you say who touched me when there is a whole multitude of people thronging you here? But one person's story was changed. Remember the story of the impotent man. Among all those people that were there, one person's story was changed. In this case, among all the people that were jostling for position, you know, and thronging Jesus and everything, one person touched him. One person. I mean, how come the others didn't touch him? Well, Jesus said, you know, there's a different kind of touch. You know, virtue has gone out of me. You know, so this is not just the people just juggling, I mean, jostling for position, pushing and shoving and everything. No. Somebody touched me. And Jesus knew it. So the woman, knowing that she was discovered, came and confessed. So, well, I was the one that touched you because of, and he told the story. She told the story. And Jesus said, well, that's cool. Go, because your faith has made you whole. Hallelujah. Now, one person's story was changed in this case. There's other stories like this in the Bible. I mean, in the book of John chapter 9, we don't know how many people, how many blind, I mean, there are some, we knew of Bartholomew, or whatever his name was, blind Bartholomew, that was healed by Jesus. The one that kept shouting after Jesus said, you know, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And he told him to shut up, but he cried out the more. You know, but in this story of John chapter 9, there was this woman, I mean, no, sorry, there was this man that was born blind, whom the disciples asked Jesus and said, what? Who was born blind? I mean, who sinned? Why this man was born blind? His parents or him? Jesus said, neither of them, but that the works of God, you heard me say that, might be manifest through him. And this man, there was a lot of blind people. As a matter of fact, Jesus told the people one time, he said, look, were there not many widows in the days of Elijah, even in Israel? And Elijah was not sent to any one of them except to the woman in Zarephath. I mean, were there not many, you know, people with leprosy in Israel? Why weren't they healed, but except to a stranger that came, you know, from, you know, the Naaman, the captain of the host from Syria or wherever? How come the children that should have had the healing themselves didn't get it? Why did it have to be one person's story that was, why did the person's whose story was changed had to be somebody, not one of you? Jesus was talking to the Jews. He said, look, you will miss the day of your visitation if you are not careful. And of course they missed it. And the Jews, especially the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and all, they knew the word of God. Well, let me not say the word of God. They knew the letters and they knew the writings. They knew the Torah. They knew everything. They knew the, you know, prophets. They knew the writings of Micah, you know, chapter 5 and verse 2 that says, Jesus will be born in Jerusalem. I mean, sorry, in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem, O Ephrathah, out of thee shall come, even though thou be the smallest out of the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor among my people, governor of my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So they knew all these things. They knew everything about what Isaiah prophesied. They knew everything. But when he appeared, they missed it. You know, and so, but in a few cases, Jesus, that virtue out of him will change somebody's story. This man who was born blind, he was not the only blind that was there. He was not the only lame that was there. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't heal everybody during his time, even though they said, you know, scripture say they brought everybody, you know, to him. I mean, they brought people to him and healed all of them. It wasn't every healed sick person in the land that he healed. Some of them were not healed, you know, because, you know, after Jesus left, John and Peter went to, in Acts chapter 3, and there was this man there at the lame, you know, lame at the temple. I mean, you know, in the front of the temple that they healed. And this man had been there. He wasn't healed. I don't know why not. You know, then so, and this, the disciples did many miracles, some of which the recipients had also been around during the time of Jesus. But, you know, in some occasions, he changed their stories. I mean, what was the thing that separated between the people whose stories were changed and the others whose stories remained the same? Well, the power of the Lord was present to heal the same way, but why didn't he heal everybody? Sometimes he did heal a lot of people, and every time they brought him a whole month to be healed, he healed them all. but it wasn't everybody that came to him. And it wasn't everybody, you know, that, you know, I mean, not every person that was sick came to him to be healed. That's what I'm saying. Everyone that came to him was never turned away, but they didn't all come. And in some cases, his mercy reached out to others, like this impotent man that we saw in John chapter 5. It was just the mercy of God that reached out to him. God was, Jesus wanted to show a lesson. I mean, let's look at Peter on the story in Luke chapter 5. This was another storyline that Jesus would change. It wasn't always about healing, but he wanted to show that he can also do this. So we've seen stories that he changed regarding healing, regarding cases where hope was lost. I mean, 38 years, this man, and even though he kept coming, but he didn't know whether he had a chance. I mean, this man, 40 years blind, you know, I mean, he was just there. All he was there was just beg for alms. You know, he had no idea how he could ever, you know, get out of that situation. But Jesus changed his story. The woman, 12 years, issue of blood every day for 12 years, that's a nasty thing. You know, spent all her living on doctors, didn't get any better, but rather grew worse. Well, but one day, I mean, she did something though. She actually did something. The others, it was just the grace of God that found them. This woman in her heart. So we see various elements of this thing. You know, this woman in her heart, she determined. In fact, her miracle was from the day that she determined that she could do this thing. If she can just touch the hem of his garment, she will be healed. That's when she got her miracle. It was already settled. Because in her mind, she already had the faith that, look, if I can just get through the crowd, touch this guy somehow, maybe I'm just, you know, like, you know, just the clothes he's wearing, you know, just at the bottom of the clothes, you know, I'll be healed. That her miracle was settled from the day she believed that in her heart. It was already done. So sometimes it's the grace and mercy of God reaching out to people. Sometimes it's the faith that's pulling it out of Christ. Whatever it is, you know, the man that cried repeatedly after Christ, you know, and they told him, shut up. And he cried even the more. His faith pulled it out. The Bible says that Jesus stopped in his tracks when the man began to cry for mercy. And eventually he was healed. So sometimes their faith pulls it out. Sometimes the mercy of God just reaches out to show us a lesson. Every which way, Peter was there. This was not a lesson about healing. This was a lesson about provision and when we get weary and tired in the things we're trying to do. He was a known and a seasoned fisherman, and with his friends and partners, they had gone out all night, which was the time of that particular season of the year to do the fishing, and they caught nothing. They were tired, they were weary, they had washed their nets, they packed it in, and they were about to call it a day. In fact, they had called it a day, you know, and Jesus, you know, stepped into the boat, preached for a little bit, and then gave a word and changed that story. Now, so, you know, it doesn't matter how long the situation has been. Jesus, knowing that this man was long time in that condition in John chapter 5, Jesus also knowing that this man was 40 years born blind, in John chapter 9. Jesus knowing that this woman with 12 years in her thing, Jesus knew all these things. Jesus knowing that Peter had been there all night long. I mean, Jesus could have come at the beginning and blessed the work of their hands so that they wouldn't spend the whole night and be frustrated and packing the thing. But he didn't, because he's trying to illustrate a point. That even when you think all hope is lost, he can still change that story. And in a moment, he changed the story. You know, in a moment, just change that story. And we see so many times that he did that in a moment. The story of Lazarus, which you know, famous story in the Bible. When Jesus had opportunity to be there before he died, he didn't. In fact, he made sure he wasn't there. He delayed 2 more days until the guy died and was buried and everything. We talked about this before. But Jesus was showing that he can still change that story. And he changed it. And listen to even the stories of, you know, people that were changed from slavery to royalty. I mean, Daniel, we know how he was a slave in Babylon and all that. But through the grace and mercy of God that was upon him, you know, the giftings of God and everything, he rose to be in among the chief of the presidents of the land. You know, and yet he was a slave man, a slave young man in there. But he rose to the height, you know, of that place. Esther was a slave girl. And she rose to be queen of the land. And yet she's, you know, through that, she was able to save, you know, her Jewish people at that time. You know all these stories. But God was the one changing their stories one by one. You know, in some cases, just like the story of Joseph, it's one of my favorite stories, they even had a glimpse of what God might do. He had some dreams, you know, but the dreams were not coming to pass. In fact, everything was happening to the opposite. Now, you may have had some dreams. You may have had some, you know, goals that you want to set. You know, at the beginning of this year, you may have set some goals. Well, people do that. Every year, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the other. I'm going to believe for this. I'm going to believe for that. And now we are in the 12th month of the year. This year is about to end. And maybe you have not achieved that. It could be like Peter who said, well, we've been here all night long. You know, it could be like even the, in Matthew chapter 20, the late hour workers that stood there all day long. Nobody hired them. They didn't have a job. Nothing was happening. It was almost the end of the day. And then suddenly, the story was changed. And they got the same reward as those who labored all day. They made it. In fact, they prospered just as much as the people that had spent 12 hours of the day working. And this one's in just 1 hour. That story was changed. We can go on and on and on. Joseph was the one that had a glimpse of what God would do for him. But it didn't look like he was going to get there. Because of all the things that the enemy put up against him. But in one day. You know, but it took him a long time to get there. But in one day, his story was changed. From the slammer to the highest position of the land. In one day. And you know the story. I don't need to retell that story. So God, he can do these things. The Lord took Ezekiel to see all those dead bones in Ezekiel 37. How long have these bones been dead? We don't know. Can these bones come to life again? God asked him, say, well, I don't know, but you know. Smart answer. And then the Lord said, well, here's what we're going to do. You, see, and again, you know, God may do that for you in your story. When he's about to change your story, he may put a word in your mouth. He put a word in Ezekiel's mouth to the bones. He said, prophesy upon the bones and then prophesy to the winds, you know, and cause all these things to happen. And God did. And he changed that story. All those dead things, you know, by the word of the Lord came back to life. Now, you may have some dead dreams. You've been believing God since the beginning of the year until now, but it didn't come to pass. In fact, every time he gets so close, like this man of 38 years, he got so close, but no chance. But somebody always stepped in and got out of him. You know, you always seem to be passed by, you know. I mean, somebody always passing you by on that job, that promotion or whatever. You know, they always pass you by and give it to somebody else. I mean, you know, those contracts you apply for, and I mean, everybody else seems to get it and you never get it. Whatever it is. That's going on. God can change in one moment. He can change that story. God who commands light to shine out of darkness. God never raised the dead. We're told in Romans chapter 4 and 17. He calls you know, God who raises the dead. I mean, God never buries the dead, is what I want to say. God doesn't bury the dead, but he raises the dead. God who raises the dead and commands things that are not as though they already are, according to Romans 4 and 17. He can call out things and he can change your story in a moment. And my favorite verse or text on all of this that I will close with today, and then we're going to pray, is taken from Job chapter 14. And I love this story. You can see how even God can change the story of a dead tree. You know, how much more he can change it for you. He says here in the book of Job, chapter 14 and verses 7 through 9, that there is hope of a tree. Glory to God. That even when the tree is dead, so look at the way he put it here. For there is hope of a tree, though it be cut down, that it will sprout again. Now, there are some things that have been cut down, and it looks like they are dead, dying, or maybe even dead in your life. Since the beginning of this year, the things you believe for, and now we are last month of the year, almost closing out, and still not there. The tender branch thereof will come back again. Even though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water. Glory to God. You know, I mean, just the smell of the water. It doesn't even need a whole lot of water. Just the smell of the water alone, you know, can bring that thing back. And it's amazing how God can do that. He can change that story through the scent of water. And will you receive the scent of water for your situation today through this encouragement room? And believe God. And be that one person that will touch him. Yeah, others, but one person touched him. There are a great number of impotent folk, but why did he go to just this one person? You know, to call out this story. We would not be telling this story today if he had just healed them all. We would just gloss over it. But because of this particular case, it was a certain man. And that's why we're telling this story today. And we also can see that the Lord can change our story. No matter where you are, no matter how long you've been there, no matter how you got there, the Lord can change your story. And I'm going to pray that the Lord will change your story today. Well, you say, well, you don't know my story. Well, I don't need to know my story, your story. But the Bible says that Jesus knew that this man was long time in that condition. So Jesus knows your story too. It could be an up and down story. It may be your story, difficulty that you're having. You know, maybe in your personal life, maybe children, maybe this, maybe that, whatever it is. God can change that story. Remember where we started today. The potter was making clay and it got all messed up. So he made it again into a new lump, even as it pleased him. And so the Lord is going to do a makeover. Hallelujah. He can do that. He did that even for the heavens and the earth. When everything was void, the earth especially, was void and out of order. And the Lord began to put things into place. And he began to remake it and redo it. Holy Spirit moving, forming it, bringing things out, calling things out of here and there, and bringing things into order. You know, changing that chaos and void into something beautiful. And every time he loved it. He looked at it and said, yeah, that was very good. He loved everything he saw. So Father, I pray over everyone that's in the room with us today. Knowing where we are, each one of us, whatever we're going through. And knowing you, Lord, that you know the situation, you know how we got here, every one of us. And we pray that this word encourage someone today to know that God can change that story in a moment. In a moment, if we just don't give up. We thank you, Lord, for the man that did not give up. He kept coming to that pool every time, hoping that one day it'll be his turn. And yes, one day it was his turn. And I pray that people in this room today who are listening in right now, or may listen later on through the replays, that they will not give up and they will not give in. And they keep on believing. And that even when it seems that it is far too late, the power of God can come and change that story. We see, Lord, that Peter packed in his net and he had given up, but you changed that story. We see that people who are lazing around all day, didn't have a job, didn't have a source of income, nothing going for them. And the day was about closing and they had nothing going. In 1 minute, you changed their story. And you prosper them the same as those who have been there all day long. Because you are the God of the 11th hour. And Lord, you can change that story. Change the storyline for everyone that's in here today that's believing you for something. And some of us, we started out this new year with great hope, great aspirations. We're going to do this, we're going to do the other. And we're going to believe God for this and the other. You know, maybe we even had some word of encouragement, such as this. But now here we are, month 12 of the year, and still maybe no change. Or maybe things even look worse. But remember, in one moment, he can change that story. And never mind what's going on around you, because all you got to do is just focus on him. You can be that one person that will touch him. Even if everything else, even if it's all darkness all around, you can be that one beam of light. Glory to God. And your situation can be the next story to be told about the person whose story got changed. And every time that God did this in the Bible and it's recorded, it's for our examples. And may your story be the next story to be changed. And when that story is changed, and I dare say, let me prophesy this right now, that God is about to change your story. And all you got to do is engage God in the spirit of this word. You know, and don't say, well, you know, I heard that before. And, you know, been prayed for before and all of that. Well, it doesn't matter how long that's happened. Today, maybe that day that God has appointed. Do not miss the day of your visitation. And do not despise the day of small things. Even though it's just a few words here and there, and there's no great fanfare to the room, do not despise the day of your visitation. There's a purpose for these words that the Lord brings to us every day. And today, it may be just that one catalyst that you need, that will help you to lift up your head. God commands the gates, say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and ye everlasting doors, be ye lift up. Let the King of Glory come in. This word may be just that scent of water for you today, to know that that tree, your dreams, or whatever may have been cut down, yet through the scent of water, even as it is on today, God, change your story. Hallelujah. Praise God.